Monroe County Council members have approved a 1% food and beverage tax to help fund an expansion of the Bloomington-Monroe County Convention Center. In a special session last night, Councilmember Jeff McKim voiced his support.
Hands, we can make sure that the community plays a substantive role in the design, that we can create a livable streetscape, that we can accentuate the virtues of the Beeline Trail, and we can work with surrounding neighborhoods, and that we don't leave the design to a private developer who'd rather build something a lot less expensive and a lot less in the best interest of the community off of I-69.
McKim said he's motivated by the prospect of a more vibrant downtown that restores balance between locals, students, and visitors. Reading from the Indiana State Code, County Attorney Michael Flory described how the tax is applied.
Transactions included food served off-premises, sold in a heated state or heated by the retail merchant, utilizing two or more mixed ingredients or sold with eating utensils. It does not apply to transactions that are exempt from sales tax. So one of the easiest ways to assume, people ask, is this included or not? If you pay a sales tax on it, it will be subject to the food and beverage tax.
The Convention Center expansion is currently estimated to cost $72 million and would include a new Embassy Suites hotel. However, the cost of the hotel is expected to be borne by the hotel developer. County Council members heard 2 hours of public testimony both for and against the food and beverage tax. Proponents of the tax cite benefits a larger convention facility, including job creation and downtown businesses stimulated by tourism. County Commissioner Amanda Barge said the community has waited too long for an expansion and pitched the benefits to local nonprofits.
I want you to imagine a Habitat breakfast that could bring in double the amount of money than it does today because that convention center is too small. Imagine the Soup Bowl benefit, the Boys and Girls Club, the Youth Services Bureau, or Stone Belt being able to use that space, a space that would really fit their needs.
Opponents say other funding options have not been fully explored. Some see the tax as regressive and a burden on low-income people. Reverend Forrest Gilmore, director of Shalom Community Center, says he tentatively supports the tax and cites the 260 jobs that market studies predict will be created. Gilmore doesn't believe the 1% tax will negatively impact poor people.
In terms of the people I work with on a daily basis, I don't see 10 cents on a burger or a pizza creating a substantial impact on their lives. I just want to put that forth. And when we're talking about the size of tax, I'm not a fan generally of this type of tax, but given the limits that we have placed on us around how we raise revenue locally, I think the impact is fairly minimal, and I don't see it being a significant impact on, say, a homeless person who's trying to get a hamburger.
County Council member Lee Jones was among those who could not support the tax.
But the public does not have an endless appetite for taxes. And I worry that piling one tax on top of another could make it that much more difficult to pass a tax that was truly necessary. In this instance, it feels to me kind of like we're being asked to tax the necessity to pay for an amenity. I realize that many supporters believe that the amount is so small it becomes insignificant. That may well be the case. But most of the people who have been speaking in support of this look to me like they have probably never really experienced serious financial difficulties during their lives.
Councilmember Marty Hawk also opposed the tax. Hawk favors increasing the innkeeper's tax instead. Before the council's vote, Council President Ryan Cobine said even if the tax is passed, a variety of factors could derail the expansion. Cobine said there are scenarios under which the tax could be repealed.
There are quite a few things that could derail this and make it such that having that in place is simply irrelevant. For example, if it becomes apparent at some point that it's simply not affordable to do this, something about construction, I mean, during the recent financial downturn in mortgages, I remember reading articles about the price of construction materials fluctuating remarkably, around 2008, 2009. I mean, there are a lot of variables at play. And so this is something I think everybody here and all in this body needs to keep in mind in terms of, and granted the people that say, like, once you pass a tax, you never appeal it. Well, sometimes that's true, sometimes that's not. But I think at the very least, right, if something were to, like, completely blow up a project like this, I'm pretty certain, I haven't polled my fellow members, I'm pretty certain that the people on this body would certainly be willing to look at saying, well, if this isn't going to work, why do we have this in place?
The County Council passed the food and beverage tax on a 4-3 vote. The tax will take effect on February 28th.